This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
All right, 2 hours down, one more to go. We're leading you up to the women's Final Four. We're going to carry both games, right, Greg?
Both games.
All right.
So right here on 710.
South Carolina, NC State starts in 1 hour at 4 o'clock. And then after that is the game everyone's looking forward to. Caitlin Clark against Paige Beckers. Iowa against UConn. Matter of fact, Greg, I'm going to make a mythical money bet.
Oh,
I got a... By the way, I got money on while I was gone because Mason was overweight,
God,
right?
So stupid, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to take...
How much?
I'm going to bet $2,000.
Okay.
And I get 5-1 odds on this, all right? So I win $10K if it happens.
Okay.
Iowa beats South Carolina in the final. Okay, it has to go exactly like that for me to cash it.
Okay.
All right, so if Iowa loses tonight, or if even if they win and they lose Sunday, I get 5-1 odds that I'm riding with Caitlin Clark. So, and so both those games coming up for you a little bit later on. Now, all of us have been victims of a mistaken identity. Like, Andy, you have a brother who's relatively close to you in age, so sometimes people call you Brian by mistake.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And in my world, because I'm on radio and TV, whenever I'm at a Laker game, people will see me and they'll say, hey, and they know they recognize me, but they can't put a name to the face. So they'll say, hey, Billy Mack, or hey, Mike Trudell. I kid you not, one time, I've told Greg this story, one time I got, hey, Jim Hill.
Jim Hill, that's
a
little odd.
And I never know how to handle it. So I laughed when I heard this story from Mike Greenberg, who hosts Get Up in the Morning, longtime ESPN employee. Listen to what happened to Mike Greenberg in a doctor's office.
Generally speaking, the treatment for that is just vocal rest. You need just some vocal rest. And I said, well, unfortunately, that's really not an option for me. I'm a broadcaster. And so she says, oh, where do you work?
This is a
and
nurse.
I said, I work at ESPN. And she said, oh, my goodness, my husband loves ESPN. I don't watch any sports at all, but my husband loves ESPN. Would he know you? And I said, he might. I said, I host the show that's on in the mornings. She said, oh, okay, that's so exciting. She was very excited by this. And then she left the room. So now I'm still sitting there, Bubba and Cam, and I'm waiting for the doctor to come in. And the door opens again about 90 seconds later, and it's the same woman. And she says to me, I just called my husband. Are you Stephen A. Smith? And I don't know what came over me, but I said, yes, I am.
All right. So he does the same thing I always do. I never correct people. Like if somebody says, hey, Jim Hill, I'll go, how you doing? Wave and I'll keep walking. Laura, does that make me a jerk?
No, because they were like, whoa, I just met so-and-so. I mean, you know, they're going to feel a little dumb later when they figure out it's not. But in the moment, you made them feel good.
Greg, should I correct them or should I just roll with whatever they think I am?
It depends on what you do. So if you're just saying, hey, how are you? And you're just waving and that's it. Yeah, just let it go. But if you're doing something crazy, like you should say, no, that's not me. That's not Jim Hill. I'm Steve Mason. Like if you're doing something really, really outlandish that you shouldn't be doing and blaming someone else. Not Jim Hill. He's too good of a guy.
Andy, correct them and tell them who I am or let it ride.
I'm telling you right now, if somebody ever thinks I'm Stephen A. Smith, I'm saying yes because the odds that Stephen A. is going to get better treatment than me feels really, really high. I feel like the doors are opening more for me if somebody for whatever reason thinks I'm Stephen A. than myself. So I'm saying yes every time.
Brian, you're walking down the hallway here and somebody goes, hey, Briones, how's it going? Do you correct him or just let it ride?
Let it ride. Give him a little, okay, yeah.
Hey, good to see you. Right, yeah. How you doing?
First of all, if you're walking down this hallway and someone calls you Briones, that's a problem for those people back there.
Right. No, you know, well, you know who would do it?
Who?
Mason.
Still to this day, looking at him all day, every day.
Yeah. Mason's going to be one of those guys, Brian, where you'll run into him in New York in like 30 years, and you go, hey, Mace. He'll go, did we work together? I had a good mistaken identity story once. I used to work with this guy in San Diego named Rod Luck. He passed away, just this character. Guy who just like talked a million miles an hour, was like really high energy sports guy. We were the two sports guys at the station. And so Rod could be pretty obnoxious. And one day I'm playing golf at a golf course down in San Diego, and I hook it left. And I hear a window break. And so I feel like the right thing to do is to go up and tell these people, hey, I'm very sorry, I broke your window. And I was playing with somebody from the golf course. He goes, you know, we have insurance for that. Just mention it to the pro shop and they'll cover it. And I said, are you sure? Because I feel I broke her window. I feel like I should pay for it. He goes, no, we're covered. He goes, it's part of owning a golf course. So I say, I walk up to this woman, and as I like get close, I'm like very disarming. I've got my hands up. I start to talk. I go, I am so sorry. She goes, what is your name? She goes, you broke my window. You owe me a window. How could you? She just starts dressing me down, and I'm just standing there taking it. And I'm figuring I'll explain to her that it's covered. And she unloads on me for like a minute. And I said, can I talk now? She goes, what do you want to say? And I said, this is covered. The golf course has insurance. If I get your name and your phone number, I'll give it to the pro shop. She goes, what's your name? And I went, Rod Luck. And she goes, well, you owe me a window. And I made sure she got her window, but I couldn't give her the satisfaction of telling her who I was. It was nuts. But I love that Greeny did that. Yes, I am. Andy, you have dabbled in the entertainment world.
Sure.
And one of the things you learn about Hollywood is it's full of weasels.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of people that are always trying to, they get their hands in the pie.
Yeah, they're anglers.
So like right, rats. I always think that it would be like, you have like Commander in Chimp, the movie idea that I hope gets made, that Jay Moore says he will star in.
Yeah, you know what? I've seen Jay Moore at Laker games, and he never even makes eye contact with me. Like, he's talking a big game.
Do you know if he knows who you are?
I would like to think. I mean, I've got this property that he wants to be a star of. I would think he knows.
Jay's a great guy. Okay. I'll broker that next time see the two of you in the same room. And Jay's like one of those guys, just a great guy. And so Adam Sandler is basically like a money machine. You know, anytime Adam Sandler makes a movie, and you can go all the way back to like Big Daddy and Billy Madison.
He does not have a lot of bombs. No.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a couple. Mr. Deeds wasn't very good. Little Devil wasn't very good. But mostly for
Little Nicky.
I love that movie.
All right, so, but for about a 7-8 year run, he was money in the bank.
Yep.
So, but he said the studio would always try and change things. So now we all love the movie Happy Gilmore. And he's trying to make a sequel to Happy Gilmore. And everybody's in. Chris McDonald, Shooter McGavin's in.
Unfortunately, no Bob Barker.
Bob Barker will be gone. But
no Chubbs either.
Yeah, no Chubbs. Carl Weathers, he just lost. But I'm sure he could probably get Julie Bowen. He could probably get all these other people. So Dan Patrick is friends with Sandler, mm-hmm. and he's been in a lot of Sandler movies.
Yep.
And so he's lobbying to get a role in Happy Gilmore 2. And Sandler said, sure, you're in. I'll give you a thing. But he was on Patrick's show the other day, and he told us an amazing story that, Andy, you'll be able to identify with, because Hollywood's always trying to screw things up. Sandler starts telling this story about how they didn't want it to be called Happy Gilmore. And Sandler's like, why not? It's a perfect name for this. God, that's the name of the movie. And you won't believe what they wanted to call it. Here is Sandler on Dan Patrick's show earlier this week.
Was there any talk of a sequel to Happy Gilmore back then?
No. But can I tell you what they wanted to call it? I don't remember. I remember we wanted to call it Happy Gilmore. And they were like, I don't like it. We said, what do you got? They said, how about Hole in Fun? And we were like, "Holmes, what the hell are you talking about?" And they were kind of trying to strong arm the Sandman, the young lean Sandman back then, saying, "I said hole in fun." They got louder and louder with me. And finally, I said, "It ain't gonna happen, guys. I'm Happy Gilmore, for God's sake."
Isn't that a typical Hollywood story? Like, hey, Happy Gilmore, you get this script. He's money in the bank. He's a guaranteed guy. And wait, how about instead of Happy Gilmore, hole in fun?
Okay, well, to be clear, at this point, he was not yet money in the bank. Like, he probably, Billy Madison hadn't even come out yet when he's pitching Happy Gilmore.
Okay, so he didn't have juice yet.
Right. That being said, hole in fun is such a bad idea. I'm trying to decide whether or not I can say this or not. It sounds to me like, be ready to dump if you have, it sounds to me like the name of an adult film.
It could be.
It's a terrible name.
That would be a really good adult film.
Yes, it sounds much more like an adult film than an Adam Sandler comedy.
I might watch that one.
Yeah. I may have already seen it.
There's already three sequels.
All right.
More holes.
Coming up next, we're going to circle back to LeBron. We're divided on this show today about LeBron. I want him to stay and finish his career with the Lakers. These guys want to throw him off the boat. But you will be shocked, Greg, especially you. You will be shocked at who LeBron gives credit for winning his first title in Miami. He says it changed the course of his career. It's somebody that you and I can't stand.
Oh, no.
And I will share it with you coming up next. First, let me tell you about iSpot Active. Love iSpot Active. I just got sent an iSpot Active shirt. If you lift heavy equipment or you deliver heavy boxes, if you work in an office all day and sit in a chair and get up and your back hurts, you got to try iSpot Active. If you play tennis, soccer, pickleball, golf, basketball, you're a runner, you have sore knees or shins, you got to try this wearable cryotherapy. iSpot Active makes stylish, form-fitted compression wear with pockets that fit flexible, ice-cold gel packs. They call them flex pods because they're rubbery and fit around your joints. Everybody I've turned on to this loves it and uses it daily. It's a great tool to keep you doing what you love, pain-free, even if it's your normal work routine. Go to iSpotActive.com. It's the only way to get this stuff. Go online, iSpotActive.com. Get yours today. And right now, they're having a flash sale. I just texted with the owners. They say Flash710. You type Flash710 into the code window. He'll give you 25% off. If you go to that website, you'll see James Worthy, one of the owners of the company and a true believer. I wear it every day. I love it. Get yours before they run out. Flash 710 gets you 25 off. And they have free shipping. And here's the best part. 30-day money-back guarantee. You don't like the thing, send it back. You get all your money back. ICEBODactive.com. iSpotActive.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Mason in Ireland is Andy Kamenetsky in Ireland today. Momo will be in here on Monday. And I was going to work with you on Tuesday, but you got moved to the Laker game, right? Okay, so you'll be doing that. That's a big game that night.
I know
Lakers
it is.
Warriors, last regular season home game of the year. And it may be to determine the site of the 9-10 play-in game, depending on what happens over the weekend.
It's a huge game.
Yeah, that's a big game Tuesday night. By the way, Lakers next 3 days, or I'll say 4 days, Tomorrow, 12:30 against the Cavs. Sunday, 7 o'clock against the T-Wolves. Monday off. Tuesday night's the game we're talking about. Lakers, Warriors. Those are the last three regular season home games. And then they'll wrap it up with two road games at Memphis next Friday, at New Orleans a week from Sunday, and then that's it. We think that the Lakers are at least in the play-in. They mathematically, if they were to like lose all five games, have a chance to be knocked out. But
I don't picture that.
I think they're going to be either 7, 8, or 9. I just don't know which. Right now they're 9.
Come on, at least 8. Give it at least 8.
Would help.
Yep.
Would help. Okay, so Greg and I, there's not a lot of people that Greg and I don't like. We're pretty positive, upgoing, happy-go-lucky, thankful people. There's not a lot of people we don't like. But one of them came across my radar today, and I was stunned by the context. Greg, you know where I'm going with this?
I actually don't.
Okay.
I'd like to know.
So LeBron has a podcast that he does with JJ Redick.
It's really good.
I can't listen to that.
And he was, okay, that means you haven't heard this. Him and Redick were talking about LeBron's first championship. Remember, LeBron went to the finals with the Cavs
in 2011. Or no, 07 or 08. 07 was with
Cleveland, got swept by the Spurs.
Right. And then the first time with Miami was 2011.
And he got knocked out by the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. And he said he gives Eric Spoelstra full credit for figuring this out. But Greg, you're not going to believe where Spoelstra went to get the answers he was looking for.
Oh, no.
Here's LeBron explaining what opened things up for the Heat and what allowed him to win back-to-back titles in 12 and 13.
That summer, he went to Oregon and hung out with Chip Kelly.
Oh, interesting.
He when we lost to Dallas, he went to Oregon and hung out with Chip Kelly and learned to spread offense and tried to figure out if he could translate that to basketball.
So Chip Kelly gets credit for, and what he said was, he said, you got to get Chris, Chip told Spo, you got to get Chris Bosh out of the way. You've got these elite cutters in LeBron and Wade. You've got to get Chris Bosh out of that paint and open up the lanes, which is why, bringing this full circle, you heard Darvin Ham say something in the beginning of this season where everybody went, what are you talking about? He said, I want Anthony Davis to shoot threes. And everyone went, Anthony Davis is terrible from three. Why would you? It wasn't so much Andy that he wanted him. I think Darvin said, if he wants to take up to 6 threes right. a game, AD's done that one time all year. Like normally he takes 1 or 2. But the reason he wanted AD to take threes is he wanted to clear out the lane so guys like LeBron and Russell could slash. And that's modern basketball now, right? You look at guys like Jokic and Embiid, they're all shooting threes.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. When I heard LeBron say that, and you know, obviously that's become so common now, I was like, I don't remember Bosh really taking threes with them. And I looked it up. He didn't. Like, it took until the final of the Heatles years before he averaged more than 1 a game.
Right. It wasn't so much that he wanted to take a lot of them. He just wanted him out there.
Right. But what would happen, though, is moving Bosh to the 5 meant another shooter out there at the very least. Like, you're opening up the space that Bosh and another traditional center may not have given you. And like with this Lakers team right now, for example, they don't even need AD taking threes because everybody else is taking them and making them. If anything, I think the Lakers should take more. But between LeBron and D'Lo and Rui and Torian Prince, the floor is pretty well spaced now for the Lakers. Like they've found you need the shooting from somewhere. Like right. It is really impossible to exist in today's NBA without some type of spacing, and the Lakers have it now.
Well, and you know, for a long time, people thought, well, the Lakers, and even LeBron would comment on it. The Lakers, he would say, we don't have any snipers. We don't have a good three-point shooting team. And now that's kind of flipped.
It's crazy.
Right now, they're 7th in the NBA. They shoot 38% from three.
Again, they don't take enough. They still don't take a lot of them.
Right. You know what else they're number 2 in the NBA in?
Fast break points?
defensive rebounds per game. They're number two in the NBA, 35 a game.
That is a big change from the season.
Okay, so you know what they are in terms of offensive rebounds? Where would you guess?
On the season?
Yeah. Where do they rank? 1 through 30.
14th.
Greg, what do you think? Offensive rebounds?
24.
30.
Yeah, I knew they weren't very good at offensive
rebounds.
I thought maybe it had somehow gone up. They've been terrible all year.
They're number two overall in defensive. And by the way, the end result is total rebounds per game. They rank 18th.
Right.
Because they're elite defensive rebounding and the dead last in offensive
rebounds. Well, that's improved a lot because they used to give up way too many offensive rebounds. It's helped that Rui has really picked up his rebounding. Reeves has picked up his rebounding. Torian's picked it up. That is, though, an area on the offensive glass that's among many. They miss Vando. They miss Vando so much in that area.
To go back to the beginning of the Chip Kelly thing, I thought you were going to say he went to Steve Alford or something like that. I was going to say, no, that would be the worst. Chip Kelly, that makes sense, though. I mean, right. He's at Oregon. It's the spread offense. That makes sense to me. I may not like him because of what he did at UCLA, but that makes sense.
Right. And Chip is an elite offensive mind. It's just that he's, you know, there are some guys that are great at assistant coaching and not set up to be a head coach. I would argue Chip is one of those guys.
You know,
because he doesn't know defense. He doesn't care about things like recruiting and NIL and all that stuff. What he is he's an elite. Let's put it this way. If I was creating a video game and I needed somebody to write all the plays for the video game, Chip's the first guy I would call.
It took a long time, I think, before Mike Brown could graduate from incredible assistant that everyone should want on their staff to draw up your defense to a guy now that I think is a legitimate NBA head coach.
Right.
Like, it took a long time, and I think Mike Brown's there, and I'm happy for him, because you know this. He's a fantastic guy.
Great guy.
But yeah. It took a minute for him.
But it's interesting, you know, the difference that one person can make in the big scheme of things. I'll tell you guys a story that, to me, is interesting. I don't know if you guys will find it interesting, but I'll tell it anyway. So, a few years ago, 2-3 years ago.
Did I play the button or no?
No, you haven't heard this.
Okay.
I've never told this story. So 2 years ago, the Lakers hired a person. Her name is Samantha Tubman. They created the job of chief of staff. Okay. Because we have so many moving parts that go with the Lakers. But this job didn't exist before they hired her. She came from the Obama administration.
Oh, so like they're recreating an actual chief of staff.
Correct. That's kind of a nod to her former job. She worked in the campaign. She worked in the White House. Yeah. She's great. Everybody loves her. Super smart. Ever since they added her, everything is better. And it's because not only is she really good to deal with, but she's excellent at hiring people. So she went out and hired our travel coordinator, a guy named Daniel Alonso, got him away from the Warriors. He went out and hired our player relations coordinator, Annabelle Padilla, who was working for the Nets. So Sam went out and got Annabelle and Daniel and brought him in. And it's night and day how efficient we are when we go now. The buses are faster. The hotels are better. Everything's organized. It's like I've been traveling with the Lakers for 24 years. It's never been this good. And it was just because they hired this one person. They hired Samantha Tubman, and she's awesome. So she's made a huge difference because everything she touches gets better. So Eric Spoelstra is sitting down there in Miami. He just loses to the Mavericks. He says, I need something. And he goes to, of all places, Chip Kelly, a college football coach, and you heard LeBron, boom, it opened everything up. Minute we got our slant, he goes on, if you want to listen to that podcast, he goes into, I can't play 5 minutes like he talked about. He goes into how once they did that, once they got to a spread offense, everything that Miami did started to make sense. Dwayne Wade and LeBron would come flying down the lane. And then if they would all pack the lane, they would kick it out to Mario Chalmers and Shane Battier and occasionally Bosch. And if the team adjusted a different way, they'd put Bosch back in the post. But it got him thinking differently. And that was all because he went to one person. So I'm going to go West Wing on you. Don't ever doubt. This is a line from Aaron Sorkin. Don't ever doubt that a small group of committed citizens can make a difference. You know why? It's the only thing that ever has. Think about that. You never know. You got to – if I people always ask me, can you give me – I want to go into broadcasting. Can you give me advice? What I tell them is be curious.
Yeah.
Ask a lot of questions.
That is a really good piece of advice.
Ask a lot of questions. Be curious because you never know when you're going to run into somebody with an answer that you can take.
Yeah.
And it changes the direction of where everything's going. It becomes, you know, in the case of Eric Spoelstra, spread offense. In the case of the Lakers, it becomes Sam Tubman opens all these doors and everything gets better overnight.
I was gonna say, I'd like to think that I know the Lakers pretty well and the staff pretty well. I had no idea they had a chief of staff.
And she's awesome. I mean, like, she's just great at her job.
If you can be the chief of staff for the White House,
she wasn't that, but she worked in every facet of it. She worked, like, she was on the very first campaign and she was there for eight years. And then when they were looking to create this position,
okay,
I think it was probably Tim Harris.
Well, if you can handle something like a presidential campaign, like
correct,
something really connected to the White House in some way, a team is going to feel, if anything, like small potatoes. Like, that's going to feel easy compared to what you're doing before.
And the trick is you need somebody who's quick on their feet because you never know what's going to happen. Like the other day, our bus pulls up to the wrong gate, okay? And we're trying to get on the bus. We're trying to get out of here. We're trying to load the bus. We're trying to, you know. 5 years ago, it would have taken us an hour to get that gate open. With her, it takes 1 minute.
Okay, well, you know this because you're like me. You follow politics. You find politics interesting. Campaigns are incredibly chaotic. Like, they're all chaos. So if you're able to handle the chaos of a campaign, you're going to be able to handle the chaos of a team.
Yeah, and she does. She's great. Okay, coming up next, Greg, I have an offer for you.
An offer?
An offer. It's coming up next. Ooh. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Why are we playing this song, Bergman?
You can't tell. You know the name of the song is ABC?
Yeah.
Today, John, you are a great A. Congratulations.
Okay, that's where I'm going.
Is that where you're going?
That's where I'm going.
That's amazing. So, I had it all set up. I was like,
you didn't know that's where I was going.
I did not know.
All right, so in order to do this segment, I have to explain the relationship between Bergman and I. Bergman and I are great off the air.
Yeah, okay? we're friends.
We're friends off the air. We get along great. Like, I would have dinner with Greg every night. I'd live next door to him. I love Greg. I love Riley. I love Doug. We're great. On the air, we disagree about everything.
Everything.
And what? So for example, I want to take calls. Greg doesn't want to. So
well, you've heard the calls.
Yeah. Most people, by the way, as this argument has played out over years, have come over to Greg's side. So the compromise we reached was 2 o'clock call of the day. But don't be taking calls every segment like you guys used to. I want a lot of guests. Greg doesn't want any guests. So I caved. I said, all right, no guests. Last week while I was gone, and I was gone for 8 or 9 shows because this was like a 2-week trip. Greg said, Ireland is not a good A, okay?
Morales said it, to be clear.
Okay. Oh, but that's another thing, Morales. I don't want Morales on the show. Greg wants him on the show. Morales is always on the show, okay? So I cave on most things. So, Greg, this is, again, me extending an olive branch with this offer.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So, and Morales may have brought it up, but you said, yeah, Ireland's not always a good A.
Not always. I'll be honest.
On Monday, it's me and Momo.
Yes.
If you want me to, I will be the B. But you got to come up with the content. Because the hardest thing about being the A.
Yes, it is.
Is coming up. Like, everything in the show today either I came up with and then Andy and Laura tag team. I send an email out to everybody early in the morning and I say, okay, here's a list of things I'm going to hit. And then you guys, I encourage you guys to all say, blah. And Greg, one of our big arguments over the years is that as much as I like you, you never give me content. See, so if this happens on Monday, you got to come up with the content if you take this offer.
Well, it's fine. Okay, so when it comes to that, when it comes to the content, because it's you and Mason for the most time, I give Mason a ton of content.
So he why don't you give it to me?
So I do, because the way that I work with content for the most part is having a sit-down conversation with you and working out different angles. And you hate that.
Yeah, because exactly. The reason I, you know why I hate it, right?
Right, because it's
the
show within the show.
I hate doing the show before the show. Like, I make it a concerted effort today not to see you before the show started. Yeah. First time I see you is when I walk in. Like, Greg and I exchange pleasantries because we like each other, but we really don't talk about what we're going to do on the show.
No, no. But a lot of, so that's how a lot of the content comes up for the show itself, is me and Mason sitting down, and now Laura is there as well. Now,
in the conference room.
In the conference room. And I'm saying, okay, so there's this story, and I think this blank, like, here's an angle this way, this way, this way. And you'll say, okay, I like that, but let's go this way. And we'll try and convince.
That would make my head explode.
We create show.
That'd drive me crazy because I'd be doing the show before the show. Right. All right, so Monday, do you want to be the A?
So if this
or
was,
come up with the content?
If this was
or
like,
let Momo be the A, whatever you want to do. So, I'll be the B Monday if you want.
No, I think you are a good A. There are certain times like this. The last segment, like let's for example, went on really long and I just kind of got lost in all of it.
Okay.
So those are the times that I'm like.
But as you've noticed with me, I normally always acquiesce. You didn't want to take calls. I said, yeah. Okay. You don't want guests. I said, okay.
Right.
No. I didn't want Morales on the show. Still don't.
So
you fold faster to Greg than Mason does to you.
Yeah, Mason does fold faster to you. But
in this case, do you want on Monday? Do you want me to be the B?
If this was any like a year or two ago, I would say yes. Let's try it out. I don't have the time to go sit down with Momo and create a show.
Okay.
So no, you do.
Okay. So Monday, I'm the A.
I will give you topics.
So I want to point out I want to point out something. You just caved to me.
Is that a cave, or is that just trying to say I don't like Ireland as the A?
I just okay, Greg, I won't be the A, and you just oh wait, no, you're not gonna be the A.
Okay,
no. If it were any other A.
Okay, if you gave me that offer today and have Andy do it, I had time today. I could have sat with Andy and created a show, and I said, let's try it out.
Right.
I don't have the time on Monday.
All right. So. Problem solved.
But also, your whole point is I'm a better A than most people. No offense, Andy. You're a better A than Andy. You're a better A than Momo.
But Andy, you're a good A.
He is. That's not a.
There are some people like Morales thinks Cappy's a bad A. I don't.
Cappy is a bad A.
I don't. I disagree with that. He was an A for 20 years with Billy Ray.
It's not the same.
Like, and by the way, for Mason, for all the talking, Mason's a terrible B. He's terrible.
So
when he says, Ireland, I want to be the beat, blah, blah, blah. No, you're terrible at it.
To be honest, I actually went to him maybe 2 or 3 years ago and said, hey, why don't we have Ireland be the A and you be the B? And because let's just give it a shot, see how it goes. And he goes, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
When we met, this is a true story. Mason goes, there are generators and there are reactors. He goes, I'm a generator. He goes, you could probably do either one, but he goes, I don't want to react. I want to generate. And I go, okay. And so I never let him forget it. Like if he even, he'll go, when he doesn't want to work, he'll go, yeah, I don't want, you take it today. I want to be, nope, not doing it. All right, come on, let's get to Game of Games because it's my game today. Is anybody else playing or is it just you three? Nobody's
four.
Here.
There's
right?
four of us, yeah.
Okay, good. Oh, that's right. There's four of you guys here. Okay, so it has to do with women's basketball, and we're going to lead you right up to both games. The South Carolina NC State game at 4, the Iowa UConn game right after it. We'll do Game of Games next, then both women's games. But before we do that, let me tell you about BB Go. BB Go is the official game day snack of the Lakers, and you know, Bergman and I have been to a couple of these remotes where BB Go is, they have their truck there. And all we do is eat over and over and over again. We dive into BB Go. It's the official game day snack of the Lakers. Mouthwatering Korean snacks and meals. You can throw this stuff in your freezer and just keep it stocked. And you have a BB Go meal in minutes anytime you need it. They're Korea's number one food brand, making the whole world more delicious. Minimum effort, maximum flavor. Available at all major grocery stores in the freezer aisle. BB Go Mandu are the largest, juiciest dumplings in the market. Every day is the day to live delicious with BB Go, the official game day snack of the Lakers. Game of Games next, ESPN LA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, no Mace today. Andy Kamenetsky in for him. And I'm the host of Game of Games today. We got four players. Brian Cohen, Greg Bergman, Laura Romo, Andy Kamenetsky. And the game involves the women's Final Four. As always, Game of Games brought to you by Jacob Imrani. Everyone loves a fighter. In this town, winning matters, especially after an accident. So remember, anyone can fight, but Jacob is here for you when you need a big win. After an accident, go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. All right, Women's Final Four starts in 14 minutes. South Carolina against NC State in the first game. Iowa against UConn in the second game. This is a quiz about women's college basketball. It's multiple choice.
Oh, I'm going to be terrible.
Here we go. It's multiple choice. You got a 33% chance.
True.
All right, Caitlin Clark is the biggest star at this year's Final Four. Who was her favorite player when she was a kid? A, Steph Curry. B, Harrison Barnes. C, Doug McDermott. Steph Curry, Harrison Barnes, or Doug McDermott? Brian.
I'm going to go Doug McDermott.
Okay, Greg.
I don't know why you'd put Doug McDermott in there if it's not Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott.
Laura.
Hard to say that three times.
Damn, I kind of want to go with that logic, but she's been compared to Steph a lot, so I'm going to go with Steph.
Andy.
I'm also going Steph.
You all missed it. It's Harrison Barnes who grew up in
Iowa.
Yes. She loved Harrison Barnes.
How could I not know he grew up in Iowa?
Went to his high school games, became a fan of North Carolina when he went there. All right, so nobody on the board yet. All right. This woman was elected to carry the United States flag at the opening ceremony of the 2004 Summer Olympics. So when the team walked in, she carried the American flag. Was it A, Lisa Leslie, B, Cheryl Swoops, or C, Dawn Staley? Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops, or Dawn Staley? Bergman.
Well, Dawn Staley's still around. I'll go Dawn Staley.
Okay, Laura.
Oh, I'm going to go just because I don't know Lisa.
Are you going Lisa Leslie?
I think you're right.
AK.
Cheryl Swoops.
Brian.
I'm going Swoops.
Greg, you got it. You wanted to back out of it.
I did because she's the coach of South Carolina,
right,
so that
right.
makes sense.
Okay, this player has already signed a deal with Rich Paul's agency, the Clutch Sports Group. Is it A, UCLA's Kiki Rice, B, USC's Juju Watkins, or C, Stanford's Cameron Brink? Rice, Watkins, or Brink, Laura?
I'm going to go Brink.
Brink. AK.
Juju.
Brian.
I'm going to go Cameron Brink, too.
Greg.
Juju.
It is Juju.
Nice.
Juju, Watkins, Andy's on the board. Greg has the lead, 2-1. Brian and Laura yet to scratch. There are eight of these and a tiebreaker. All right. Next one. Caitlin Clark verbally committed to another school before she eventually switched to Iowa. What school did she verbally commit to first? Is it A, UConn, B, Tennessee, or C, Notre Dame? Laura, UConn, Tennessee, or Notre Dame?
So I know one for sure is not A because she talked about wanting to go there and they didn't actually recruit
her. So what are you going with?
I'm going with Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, AK.
Will nobody take UConn?
I'm going to say What was the third one? Tennessee?
UConn, Tennessee, Notre Dame.
I'm going to say Tennessee.
Brian.
I'm also going to go Tennessee.
Greg.
I'm going Notre Dame because it's pretty close.
Notre Dame is correct.
Oh, that makes sense.
Greg has three, Laura one, Andy one.
I knew about the UConn.
All right, I'll make Greg start to go first because we're getting towards the end here.
How many are left?
Let me look. One, two, three, four, and a tiebreaker.
That's too early to go for. That's fine.
All right. Well, you're up by two already.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. This current college women's coach was born in Santa Ana. Is it A, LSU's Kim Mulkey, B, Iowa's Lisa Bluder, or C, Stanford's Tara Vandeveer? Greg, Mulkey, Bluder, or Vandeveer?
I'm going with the Bluder.
Bluder. All right, Laura, you're two back. Okay, Mulkey, Bluder, or Vandeveer?
I know, but like I have to make points up, so I'll go C. Better.
You're going Vandeveer. Mm-hmm. Andy?
I think it's actually Kim Mulkey.
Brian?
Let's go Mulkey.
Mulkey is the correct answer.
I just
read
the
Washington Post piece about her.
Yeah, she was born in time. Who? Yeah. Yeah, she talks with that twang like she's from
That's why
sound.
I was like, I don't
they
think
can
so
keep
at all.
Her over there.
Oh, so she's like Brian Kelly and making it up.
Exactly.
Ah, finally. You know what I mean? All right. What is Caitlin Clark's major at Iowa?
Oh, Lord.
Is it A, marketing, B, business, or C, history? Greg, marketing, business, or history?
Jeez, it's all over the place there. Let's say randomly history.
History. All right. Andy?
Marketing.
Brian?
I'm also going to go marketing.
Laura?
I'm going with Greg, history.
You should have gone marketing. Andy has tied the score.
Oh, man. You can go first now.
He will. Andy, three. Greg, three. Brian, two. Laura, one. Laura, you got to go opposite to stay alive. Here All we right. go. You can go last every time. All right. This woman was a unanimous first-team All-American and became the first freshman to earn a major national Women's College Player of the Year award, winning all four for which she was eligible. Was it A, Cheryl Miller, B, Paige Beckers, C, Sue Bird? Andy, Miller, Beckers, or Bird?
Miller.
Greg?
Miller.
Brian?
I'm going to go Sue Bird.
Laura?
I got to go opposite of whatever they didn't pick, I'll choose.
You're glad you did. The answer is Paige Beckers.
Really?
Yeah, co this year with Clark, but she won him all every year she's played and won it as a freshman. All right. The score, Andy 3, Greg 3. Laura, two. Brian, two. It's very close.
There's only one left, two left?
One left.
Ooh.
And a tiebreaker. So Greg and Andy have to go first, and then Laura and Brian will have a chance. Here we go. What is UConn coach Gino Auriemma's real first name?
Gino.
Is it A, Enzo, B, Guido, C, Luigi? Enzo, Guido, or Luigi? Andy.
Is anybody actually named Guido?
He might. I don't know.
Guido, Luigi. Pick one.
I'm going Enzo.
You're going Enzo. Greg.
I'm going to go Luigi.
Okay. Laura.
I got to go Gino.
Gino's not one of the choices.
Guido.
Enzo,
Guido, whatever.
Okay, go get Brian.
Yeah, Guido.
We have a winner. And that winner is Greg Bird.
Yeah, I got one.
Luigi.
Nice. Luigi Auriemma.
Luigi Auriemma is his real name.
That is as Italian as it gets.
By the way, Brian won.
Gino.
Brian won. Mason won. Andy won. Bergman won.
Wait a minute.
Zero.
I won wherever I was Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Where was I Wednesday?
Did you win?
Yeah.
Then Brian won, Mason won, Andy won.
Oh,
Ireland
yeah, you won.
Won
mine.
Yeah, I won Laura's game on Wednesday.
Ireland won, Bergman won.
What's wrong with you? I don't.
I didn't write
gone
it down.
Enough where I don't have, but you got to give me the ones I win. All right, let's do the tiebreaker just for fun.
Okay.
The record for most points scored by one player in a women's Final Four game was set by Cheryl Swoops in 1993. How many points did Swoops score in that game? Greg, take a guess.
Wait, so
one game, Cheryl Swoops holds the record for most points in a Final Four game. How many did she score?
43.
Okay. Andy?
54.
Laura?
35.
Brian?
38.
It is Greg Bergman's day. The answer is 47.
Oh, I was going to say 47, too. Oh, I've been right on the nut.
And you still won.
Number. Yeah.
All fine. Right.
Calmate.
So, in congratulations, Greg.
Thank you.
A couple of questions for you guys before we get out of here and turn it over to the women's Final Four. Andy, Lakers play Cleveland tomorrow at 12:30, and then Minnesota, who is currently first in the West, Sunday night at 7. What's their record at the end of the weekend?
2-0.
Greg?
1-1.
I'll say 1-1 as well.
Laura?
I'm going to go with Andy. 2-0.
I'm also going with Andy. I think they've found something.
Cleveland also is not playing well right now.
No, they've but really someone's going to sit. I don't think they'll play the back-to-back. Do you?
Yes.
Think both LeBron and AD play the back-to-back again?
Unless.
Yeah, they did it again the other night.
Especially
when
because,
we did, what did we do? Toronto, D.C. They played in both of them.
And they're going to have a longer recovery time between the matinee and the Sunday night game. And where we are in the season
aren't
right
they
now.
Both 12:30 games?
No. Here's Lakers schedule for this weekend. Well, first of all, let me go in order. Today, we have both the women's games. So no Sedano and Cap. Both of the women games. First game, South Carolina, NC State. Second game, UConn, Iowa. By the way, if you would have told me even 2 years ago, Greg, that we were going to bail on programming to carry two women's games, I would have said no effing way.
No way.
And now look at it.
Good for the ladies, man.
Good for them. All right, so that's today. Tomorrow, we have 12:30 Lakers, and is there an LAFC game tomorrow as
well? There is an LAFC game starting at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Right after the Lakers game ends. And we're also carrying both men's Final Four games, but on the app only, ESPN LA app only.
Sunday, are we carrying the women's Final Four?
Yes, we are.
Final? Okay.
Yes, we
and
are
then the
that.
Lakers play Minnesota Sunday night at 7.
Yeah.
And then we're back here on Monday, and we're carrying the men's national championship game Monday,
yes, we are.
Right?
Yes, we are.
So Sonano and Cap will be on for an hour. We'll have a full show Monday. It'll be me and Ramona. But we will carry the men's final starting at 5, right, Greg?
Yeah.
Well, on Monday?
We're going to start at 5 with pregame. It tips at 6:20.
Okay, so we're loaded around here this weekend. We got two NBA games, a soccer game. What was the other thing you said we're carrying on the app? Men's
Final Four.
Final
both
four.
Games on the app.
On the app. And by the way, a lot of people have asked me, can I listen to the Laker game on the app? Yes, but you have to do something. You have to hit Listen Lakers Live. If you just turn the app on and say Listen Live, it'll give you general program. You have to hit the Laker link on the app. So
within 75 miles.
Right. So, and also the Lakers app, which is free. The ESPN LA app is free. And then the Lakers app is free. You can also listen to Michael and I on the Lakers app. So there's a couple of ways that you can listen to the games this weekend. All right, Andy, thank you as always.
Great fun,
job today. Everybody have a great weekend. Women's Final Four coming up next. Go Lakers, ESPN LA.